I'm thankful for that song, because one night back in 1965, I met Jesus Christ as my Savior. I didn't just accept Him, but He accepted me. The Bible says that no man can come unto me except the Father who sent me draw him. And He said, I'll raise him in the latter days. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. Did you notice how beautiful the day is?
Yes.
This is the day the Lord had made, and I'll not quote this word for word just right. I never get it right. But this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah. Yeah. That's close, wasn't it? I notice as I get, as the gray hair prevails and then starts to fall out, that my memory is starting to fail some. And I always remember my dad and my mother. They passed on. They're with Jesus today. They would talk about how that they wouldn't remember things. But Mom always remembered our birthdays and things like that. So anyway, enough of those preliminaries. I'm glad to be here. Brother Paul, let's pray for him. As you know, he is ill. He called me last night and or yesterday. I was out mowing and got in and saw on the phone that he'd called, and I called him back. And he is ill. He believes he has the COVID, so. And we've all heard that story over and over and over and over. It's just a disease that people, I personally haven't had it and haven't had the shots or anything, but I was just immune to it. I'm just one of those guys, you know. But let's pray for him that he has a swift recovery, that he can be here for your Bible study. I'm fortunate that I'm kind of a computer geek, so I know all about looking on Facebook and all, or not Facebook, but YouTube, and watching the sermons and everything. And I'm so glad that you do that, because you're putting that word out to the world, and that is a worldwide effort. There are folks in other cities, other counties, other states, other countries that are watching that. I don't know if you know that or not, but I try to tell my friends in Africa, my friends that are in Africa, you know about that. We were here a few weeks ago showing our slides. My friends and our relatives in Germany, which I would ask you to pray for him, especially Jerry Rogers. He's my dad's first cousin, and I don't know how I said he's my second cousin, but he said, no, I'm his first cousin once removed. I don't know. That's just the way it is. But anyway, we'll leave that. I'll get talking too much. I found that I didn't sleep much last night thinking about what the Lord would have me to say today. I want to do exactly what He wants me to do. I'm at the age now where it doesn't matter. I don't care that much. I care, but it doesn't bother me what people really think about me, but what they think about my Lord. Jesus is one that has brought us this way today. You may say, well, it's just it was my idea to be here. Well, sometimes I think that Jesus has a way of moving things so that things happen, and it's for the betterment of us. But I'd like to call your attention, if you have your Bibles and like to read along with me, I'm going to go to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah is in the Old Testament. I'm going to read a few verses in that chapter 25. Isaiah chapter 25, reading verses 1 through verse 8. I could read the whole chapter, but I don't want to take up a lot of time, because our thought is within there and over in the New Testament. And of course, this whole book, this whole Bible here, all 66 books are speaking of basically one deity, one person, one spirit. It's about Jesus Christ. This whole thing, that's what it's about. You go from the beginning to the end. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Why? Because He's our Savior. He's our life. And if you've been saved by the grace of God, He is your Savior. He paid a price for us all. So, but anyway, let me get into this. This is Isaiah chapter 25, and beginning with verse 1. O Lord, Thou art my God. I will exalt Thee. I will praise Thy name. For Thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsel of old are faithfulness and truth. For Thou hast made a city, an heap of a defense city, a ruin, a place of strangers to be not no city. It shall never be built. Therefore shall the strong people glorify Thee. The city of the terrible nations shall fear Thee. For Thou hast been a strength to the poor. That's you and me, folks. A strength to the needy in his distress. A refuge from the storm. A shadow from the heat. When the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. Thou shalt bring down the noise of strangers as the heat in the dry place, even the heat with the shallow of the clouds. The branch of the terrible ones shall be brought low. Now verse 6, and in the mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, the wine of the less well refined. And he will destroy in his mountain the face that covereth, cast over all people, and the veil that is spread olive, all nations. He will swallow up death. Now listen to this. He shall swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. And the rebuke of this people shall be taken away from off all the earth. For the Lord has spoken it. If correctly read, that's barring any mistakes that we may have made. That is Isaiah 25 verses 1 through verse 8. Now, if you'd like to go with me, this is over in the New Testament. And this is in the book of 1 Corinthians. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, which, as you know, he wrote to. And they were a church that was just like most. They had their ups and downs, like everybody else. Now, sometimes I want to interject this before I read this. And we'll begin our reading in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, if you want to go there. And I think I will start in verse 50. But I want us to realize before I read this that God is our life. The Bible tells us that we live and move and have our being in Him. I know that we go to the doctor. Some of us take medicine. I take a lot. My granddaughter just shook her head and goes, you know, yours takes as much as Grandpa Nick, which was my dad. And then we try to take herbs and vitamins and all that kind of stuff just to keep going. But honestly, folks, the one that keeps me going is a man named Jesus. Jesus Christ is my God. He is the one that allows breath to go in and out. He's the one that watches the blood flow through. He ate us. Washes through the blood that flows through my veins. He knows all about that because God lives in eternity. Now let's first look at verse 50 in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. And that word is pronounced show. I know it looks like shoe, but if you look it up in the English dictionary, it's pronounced show. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. Oh, listen to this. In a moment, in a twinkling of of an eye at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on, let me start again. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And there's a period there. And I like the way that Paul said that. Let's read that last portion again. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Have you ever felt like, and if correctly read, that's the verse 50 down through verse 58 in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Have you ever felt like maybe that you're just not worthless? You're just not worth anything? Well, I want to tell you something. Jesus thought you was worth something. Because I truly believe, and no doubt you do too, that when Jesus went to the cross, you see, he was God in the flesh, so he could do this. We believe that he was thinking about us, thinking about me, thinking about you. So, well, Terry, that was 2,000 years ago. How could he know? Because he was God. Gentleman that stood in this pulpit not too long ago, last name's Massey. I heard him preach one time a sermon about how that God knew us from the beginning. You know, I realize, and I forget exactly who it was, and I'll have to think in just a moment, but talked about how that God knew him when he was in his mother's womb. That's why I'm against abortion, because I think that's birth. I think that's life. And we'll not go down that road. But my thought today and my theme is victory in Jesus. We sing a song, Victory in Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Oh, Terry, you don't understand what I'm going through. Brother Nicodemus, you know, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. I have cancer. I have this. I have a heart condition. My children won't go to church, and my neighbors hate me for going to church, and there are those that won't have anything to do with me, and I'm sad, and I'm depressed, and I'm this. I want to tell you, friend, Jesus knows all of our troubles and sorrows. Jesus suffered as we did, but without sin. When we think about loneliness, Jesus at times would feel that. And how do I know that? Because when he was on the cross of Calvary, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It's because Jesus had to bear the sin of us all, you and me alike, while he hung there on the cross. And you know, there was from the sixth hour to the ninth hour where victory was just around the corner, because he began to suffer the pain of sin, which he didn't have to. He told him at one point, he said, don't you know that I could pray unto the Father and he'd bring me in the legions of angels? I think it was like 72,000 angels would have come at his beck and call and would have come and take him off the cross and took him home to be with God. Then where would you and I be? We'd be without a Savior. If you recall, when he was hanging there on the cross, he was between two thieves. I mean, when we say thieves, they were robbers. They were bad person. They were people that had done something they shouldn't have. Now, Jesus didn't do anything wrong. They tried and tried and tried to find things wrong with him in that government of that day. But they couldn't find anything really wrong, but they still did. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. Well, he's hanging on the cross there, and he's between two thieves. One of them was arguing. He said, if you be the God, in other words, if, what do you mean if? There's no if about it, as my mother used to say. There's no if or buts about it. It's the truth. He was the Savior of the world. But he said, if you be him, get us down, yourself and us down from here. But the one on the other side, on his right side, said, you know, we're here because we deserve to be here. But he doesn't deserve to be here. Remember what he said? He said, Master, when thou enterest in thy kingdom, remember me. What did Jesus reply back to him? There, let's just get the picture of that. There Jesus has been beaten. He's bleeding. He's got a crown of thorns in his head. There's blood coming down his face. He's an awful mess. That body's just beat to death. And he's hanging there with these spikes between in his arms, and to breathe he had to move just to expand his lungs. He's suffering physically, spiritually, everything about him is suffering. He's bleeding out, yet he said, today thou shalt be in paradise with me. My friends, if I don't make it home today, and you get it, you hear on the news that some old gray-haired guy in a blue Ford Flex with a bunch of antennas on rolled over in the ditch down here, and he's dead. Oh, good. He went home. Why? Because this day, if I die, if something happens to me, I will be in paradise with him. Right? Yeah. Something happens to you, and you know the Lord. You've got that time and a place where Jesus saved your soul, took the burden away, put peace in there. That's all it was. Going back to 1965, you talked about 55, that's the year I was born. So I was 10 years old, I'm telling my age, but I don't care. I don't care because God, I'm so thankful that he's let me live this long. Because I've got a lot of friends, a lot of high school buddies that are gone on, and some of them I don't know where they're at. I'm afeard, as one of the old preachers used to say, I'm afeard that they're not with the Lord. But that night, Jesus came down in a little boy's soul. And as I tried to seek the Lord, I didn't know how. Now, you say, well, you know, your mom and dad was going to church all your life and took you to church all your life, and your dad is a charter member of that church, and on and on and on. I still didn't know how. But, you know, I knew I wasn't the one that didn't know how. When he started to draw me, God draw me to his son, and I pleaded with him and tried to repent of my sins and tell him that I was sorry for that, what I was. I realized that I thought I was a pretty good little boy. I didn't get in a lot of trouble. Now, Dad used to spank me a lot, but that helped stunt my growth. You know, I'm just not very tall, but he... And before Dad died, he told me and my brother, he said, I was really rough on you boys. I said, no, Dad, you taught us to be respectful. You taught us about Jesus. So on that night that I was seeking the Lord, I found something that I'd heard about all my life. I learned about something that the preacher was preaching about that night. I come acquainted with one that they were pointing me to. You know, we say, well, we lead people to the Lord. Well, I can point you to him, but that last mile of the way is between you and Jesus, because I can't do nothing about that. I can pray for you. I can give you directions to go to him, but the last mile of the road to Jesus is between you and him. It's again, you come to a no-so salvation. How do I know that? Because I have experienced it, and not just because God has called me to preach the word of God, but as a 10-year-old boy, I found Jesus to be my Savior when I came to myself. The heavy burden, the darkness, the burden of sin was gone. Was I perfect? Well, my soul was. I wasn't. I still like the Flintstones. I still like my new Western Flyer bicycle I'd got for Christmas the year before. You know, I tried to give that to the Lord. I said, if you save me, I'll give you that. I did. How silly. How silly that was. That was his already. The metal is made out of, the plastic, the rubber tires, the spokes, everything. He had created all that, man. He just took it and reshaped it. He didn't need that bicycle. He needed me. He needed my soul. You know what I found that night? Back in 1965, in the back corner of True Hope Missionary Baptist Church, I found victory in Jesus. Victory, my friend. Oh, that if I can just take you there and let you know how it felt. And I know that you have your experience too with Jesus, but I felt it in my soul. I knew it not only in my head, but I knew it in my soul. The first thing that came to me is to tell my mama. When I was a boy, I'd come in from work, good Lord, from playing. I thought it was work, but from playing. We lived at 2233 North Delaware. That house is burnt to the ground since we lived there. There's a little bungalow there now, but I come busting through the front door in the summertime. I always been out playing with the neighbor boys. We've been playing war and things like that that little boys used to do. We didn't have the gadgets like they've got today. I'd bust through that door, and the carpet Mom had put down was a Berber, what they called it. And it was green. She liked green for some reason. I come busting through that door. Mom, I need something to drink. And there she is on her knees by that bed, tears running down her eyes, praying for me and my brother. I'd get quiet and I'd listen, and you'd hear, Lord, when my boys become of age, save their soul. Help them to repent of their sins that they may know and have victory in Jesus. Well, it happened. I was saved at church. My brother was saved at home. I found victory in Jesus. Now, let's read this again. Let's get down to it. I'll try to. These newfangled watches, you've got to. Well, it helps if you turn them on. It's not even on. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. You shall all see, but you shall be changed. You know, because I got saved that night, if I am still here when he returns, I will go to meet him in the air. And the Bible says, as it does here, and we'll read it here in a minute, I shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. This old fat body, this old body that's really given me a hard way to go here, I've fell three times in the last year, and it kind of boogered everything up. But you know, I'm not worried about that, because God's going to give me a new one that will not hurt. I will not cry. I will not hobble around like some old goat. I will be able to walk the streets of gold. And you know I won't have to do this, but I was thinking early this morning, like about 3 o'clock, I thought, you know, God, it would even be a privilege to be there in your holy city. There'll be no dirt there, so I won't have to do this, but to mop the floors of heaven if it had to, just to be there. The biggest thing is, now listen to this. He says, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound, and the dead shall raise incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption, and I thought about this corruption, I'm so sorry that I sin. I don't want to. I don't want to disappoint God, but I do. Paul said that. He said, that I do. I would not do. Therefore, it's not me that do, but it's sin that liveth within me. I hate it that I sin. And I try to do better, but it seems like just me gets in the way. But let's look at verse 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass that was saying that I read to you, death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Listen to this. Death is swallowed up in victory. The last enemy that shall be taken care of, as Jesus says, shall be death. It shall be victorious. Even upon the hour that I watched my mother die, I watched her take her last breath. As I stood there and watched my father die, and he takes his last breath, I knew that would be the last time he would ever die. That would be the last time the mama would ever die, because they had a testimony. testimony that they knew the Lord, that they had been saved by the grace of God, that their spirit had been changed by Jesus. Not by man, not by their head, not by their thoughts. Then death is swallowed up in victory. I just don't fear death. I kind of fear what's between here and there, because I don't like to hurt, but I do. And it's going to hurt because there's going to be a sting of death. And that's okay, because he says right here, "Oh, death, where's thy sting?" Well, he's trying to say, well, what's the big deal? You'll just have it for a moment. The sting will just be just for a little while. "Oh, death, where's thy sting? Oh, grave, do you have a victory over me? I laid my mama and my daddy over in Schofield Cemetery over in southeastern Polk County. However, we hired an undertaker, and they dug a hole, and we put them in a nice little casket. Why we spend so much money, I don't know, but we just did. And we stick them in the ground, and we're covering them up, and that's where their bodies are. But you know, me and my brother was talking a week ago Monday. We went to lunch. He lives in Springfield, and I like to see him. We get along a lot better now than we did when we was kids. And he forgave me for shooting him in the neck with a BB gun, but you know, that's okay. I love him anyway. But we got talking about mom and dad being gone. He said, "You know, I really haven't had a lot of desire to go up to the grave," because he said, "I know they're not there." And they're not. That shell that they lived in, that person that I called mama, that person I called daddy, they aren't really there. Because the Bible says that the saints, when they die, you remember when the, listen to this, remember when Lazarus died, what did it say? The angels carried him. So we watched my mama die, and my daughter turned to me. My youngest daughter, my oldest daughter, lives in Georgia. My youngest daughter turned to me. She said, "Daddy, do you think," and she called him Grandma Nick, her last name Nicodemus, that's another story, but she said, "Do you think Grandma Nick shouted all the way to heaven?" I said, "Honey, if she had the ability to, yes, she did. Because she was going home. Not to the place on Delaware Street, not to the place there in that rest home or nursing home, whatever you want to call it, but she was going to her long home, the one that she'd prepared for back when she was 19 years old. And she's with the Lord now. She has victory in Jesus. Now, as you sit there, I don't know anybody's heart. It's not none of my business where you stand with the Lord. Oh, I'll pray for you if you're lost. I'll do that. But, you know, it's not my judge. But the judge is in heaven. One day he's going to return, not as the Savior, but as the judge. You know, I know there was back in that one fellow says, "Here comes the judge." Well, my friend, one day the judge is coming. Say, oh, we've heard that all our life, and we've never seen it. My great-grandfather on my dad's mother's side lived to be 100 years old. Name was Willie Hayden. William Hayden, but they call him Willie. He's buried over at Red Top Cemetery over south of Buffalo. He lived to be 100 years old, and you know, he heard that. He was born 1862 and died November 17th, 1862, died January 4th, 1963. I remember him. I was 8, but I remember him. He was born on my brother's birthday, and they buried him the day after mine. Yeah, it was in January, so it was snowing. But he heard that all his life. He was raised right there in the Red Top area, around Red Top, Missionary Baptist Church, down in there, you know. He heard that all his life, and he could have said, well, I've heard that for 100 years and it ain't happened yet. But you know, one day the call will come out from heaven. It's your time. It's your time. So either way, we have victory in Jesus. If I die before he comes, I have victory in Jesus, because my soul will be with him. If he returns, while I'm still alive. And we look out the sky out here, and the Bible says that every eye shall see him. You shall see him if you're still here, and I shall see him if you're still here. We'll hear our trump. That's what he said, wasn't it? He says the trump shall sound and time shall be no more. My watch, which I finally got, no, I didn't, it's still not running. American technology made in Japan, I guess. I don't know. But time will be no more. That clock will have no bearing on me. You know, I rushed down. You asked Brother Dennis. We were coming down the road, and there was a gentleman in the road going 40 miles an hour. Way back there. And I got thinking, I know he's just enjoying the day. I wasn't mad at him, but I knew I had to be here. So I went around him. Went around him and got back up to speed to here. But you know, if I hadn't have made it, I would have cried victory. I would have cried victory. Oh, victory in Jesus. Oh, I don't have anything else to lean on. My wife, she's been awful good to me. She's not very good health, and she's got a lot of health problems. And if it'd be me, I would have gave up a long time ago. She's just sick all the time. But, you know, I'd miss her. But if I don't make it home, I have victory in Jesus. Do you have victory in Jesus? You know, you hear that word Jesus a lot. For those of you that are a little younger, you probably know a rock and roll singer named Alice Cooper. I saw him the other day in an interview. I was surprised. He said, you know, most people think that Jesus Christ is a curse word. But he said, I found out him to be real. Oh, you mean somebody like them can find Jesus? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Do you know no matter what we do, Jesus still loves us? Yeah, he does. The worst person, the people that are living under the bridges in Springfield, and they're there. The people are just now waking up from an overnight partying right now. Jesus loves them. Don't like the sin. I like what my son-in-law lives in Georgia said. He said, you don't have to love the sin, but you got to love the sinner. Because Jesus does. Yeah, I've got relatives doing things that they just... And I do things that it's just like, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I imply that? Because Jesus still loves me and he forgives. Upon that day that we shall see him and you shall look, you'll not have to worry about going to work. I'm retired. I don't worry about it anyway. I need to get a part-time job. I'm still studying for that realtor thing. But no matter what happens, I have victory in him. We'll go through just a couple of things and I'll quit. Do you want to see what victory is? Let's go to Abraham. Abraham and Sarah didn't have no children. They wanted one real bad. They just had to wait. They found victory. They had a child. I think about Cornelius. Cornelius and his house was one that was devoted to the Lord. He needs somebody to come and preach to him. But they had to wait. He was preparing Peter up there when he was on top of his house. Remember that? It was about time to eat, but he went up the house. He got caught up in the spirit. He saw this sheep pulled in four corners and every unclean beast. Because Cornelius wasn't a Jew. He prepared, but Cornelius just had to wait. I could go on and on. What about those that, the one that had the issue of blood, had been sick for a long time, and Jesus healed them? They just had to wait. There's nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord. If you've been praying about something, you go, you know, I don't think he even hears me. Yeah, he does. He's heard your prayer. He's ready to take care of it. But he's bringing it together. And I find the longer you have to wait, the bigger the blessing is. So if you've got something you've been praying to Jesus about, you'll have victory. Jesus is the only hope we got. God bless you, my friends. I don't know you very well, of course. I've been here a few times. Some of you don't know it all. But I do know one thing. You got to make sure that Jesus is your victory. You got to make sure that before this is over. Oh, I probably got a long time. You don't know that. You don't know that. Had a neighbor when we lived in Springfield, right before we moved out to Willard. Man, big old guy. Rode his bicycle every day. Looked like the picture of health. He was out riding it one day and killed over with a heart attack. I guess he thought he had a long time. I don't know. Some of us are great, got gray hair, and we ought to be proud of it. God's let us live this long. I know some of us colored up. That's okay. As long as you don't color it green. But, you know, some people do. I've got a cousin who colors it purple. But that's okay. It's the soul that he looks at. God bless you, Elton Baptist Church, and those that are visitors. If I never see you again, as my aunt Lola Perdue said, the last time I saw her, she was in a nursing home up in Kansas City. Her daughter lived up there. She's from over the Red Top area. She said, well, I'll see you later. If I don't see you again, that's all she did. I know what she meant. Last time I saw her here, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to see her again.